Okay, let's get started. So hello and welcome to the March 2025 edition of the DMSE Masterclass. This monthly class is for current DMSE students and faculty and frankly anyone interested in the Doctor of Medical Science program at the Arizona School of Health Sciences, A.T. Still University. We have the opportunity here to hear from inspiring masters in the PA profession and in healthcare who have made a significant impact. Before we begin, a few reminders for those of you who are attending. Please keep your microphones muted and feel free to share any comments or questions in the chat section during the presentation. We will have a Q&A session at the end where you can unmute yourself, and Dr. Beth Popray, our program manager, will be monitoring the chat for any questions or comments. So, anyway, it's my pleasure to introduce our guest today, Jessica Svetic. Jessica is the founder of Citrus Aesthetics Med Spa and the visionary behind Citrus Franchising, which are solo practice med spas focused on genuine and ethical aesthetic medicine with natural results. Jessica is a graduate of A.T. Still University, PA program, where she received her master's degree in PA studies and was nominated PA Student of the Year. She has a strong foundation in emergency medicine and advanced training in aesthetics, having been trained nationally and internationally by renowned providers in aesthetic medicine. And she's now a trainer and a trusted leader in the field herself. Through Citrus Training Academy, Jessica mentors solo providers, sharing advanced clinical techniques and essential business strategies to foster a new generation of ethical practitioners. And I can go on, but I really want to get into talking with Jessica. Jessica, welcome to our masterclass.
Thank you so much. It is an honor to be here. Thank you so much for the invitation, and I'm really excited to share my background and teach everyone a little bit about aesthetic medicine.
Wonderful. Well, let's jump to it. Let's go back to the beginning. Tell us about your experiences before PA school. What brought you to A.T. Still University's PA program? That's a number of years ago. Tell us about that.
So I actually was an elementary school teacher prior to becoming a PA, Randy, and I love teaching and I love education. I actually went into lower level age teaching. So I was in a preschool teaching and I realized I love what I did, but I couldn't control a group of 10 4-year-olds. And it was then when I realized, okay, there's something about having a passion, but also being in the right environment, doing what you love. I actually met Brittany, who's now a part of the ET Still program, and she really inspired me with just her passion for the field of PAs. And as I was exploring what I wanted to do with my career, I just asked her, "Can I shadow you?" She sounded so, she just loved what she did, and I began to shadow her, her other colleagues, and I realized the PA field is just so versatile, and I was looking for a field where I could continually expand my knowledge, but also have an opportunity to educate in the field. So I decided to do a complete change of career in a sense and go from being a teacher to applying to PA school. And I did this switch in actually a quite a short amount of time. I ended up becoming a medical scribe, volunteering, getting loads of hospital hours, doing medical trips, basically becoming involved in the underserved by helping out with the documentary and the patch clinic. And I fell in love with the field because as a PA, you essentially can work in healthcare, be an educator, while also being very progressive in the field. And I loved that aspect of it. So I was able to attend the AT Still program, and at the time I didn't know specifically what field of medicine I wanted to get into, but I quickly realized I love anything that's as challenging as it possibly can be, and that's what brought me into emergency medicine to start off with, which is truly the foundation of what has made me capable and competent as an aesthetic provider now. And I still remember actually as on my second PA rotation, I was in the ER and there was a patient that came in, an inmate, and my preceptor had basically started their full workup because they had a completely bashed face, and the assumption was they got beat up. And they didn't really take the time to delve into the patient's story. So a workup was done with a CT scan, and that was essentially it. And it was my first eye opener in that being a competent provider starts with being a good listener. And second, with being a good educator, because I took a little bit of extra time with that patient and ended up finding out his backstory that the last thing he remembered before his head was he got the head trauma was that he started to get a tightness in his chest and he felt like an elephant was sitting on his chest. And I got more details, and then I presented the case to my preceptor and said, "Hey, I'm really concerned that actually this inmate was not beat up. I'm concerned that they may have had a heart attack and that this could have led to them collapsing and that causing the injury to their face." And it was a really, really rare case of an EKG that showed tombstones, and he essentially had a left coronary artery block later come to find out. And my preceptor had a moment. He'd been a practicing ER doctor for about 25 years, and he just looked at me and said, "Thank you for helping me to realize that simple thing of taking time with my patients. I had forgotten to do that." And so I had the pretty amazing opportunity to fly like with air flight and transport this patient actually personally to Tucson. And it was at that moment that I realized I don't come from a background of medicine, but I have what it takes to be a good provider. And that story and that moment, I've tried to carry that into every educational moment with all the PA students I've mentored, as well as in the aesthetic field, that's one of the simplest and most important things is take the time to listen and hear a patient's story.
Wow, that's great. Well, tell us a little bit more of where you practiced in emergency medicine and how many years you did that.
So I practiced in Safford, Arizona, which is a small little rural town in between Phoenix and Tucson. And I worked in Phoenix, so I would commute for about 4 12-hour shifts, and I would stay the night there. And it sounds crazy, but it was so worth it for the experience I got. When you work as a provider in a rural area, it's a whole different experience than working in a city hospital, because you are first touch point essentially with any level of acuity, and there's not as many resources on board at a small rural hospital. So I had some incredible mentors who taught me everything I knew in emergency medicine and just got me hooked on rural medicine in general, because you really have to be a bootstrapper. You have to figure things out. You have to use what little resources you have. And it was there that I really gained the experience actually with the skin that I needed and transferred into the field of aesthetic medicine because there's no plastic surgery on board. So when there's major lacerations that come in, we have to figure out how to essentially get this person looking somewhat normal again. And so I really gained the skill specifically for aesthetics actually in the ER. And one of my ER mentors was the person who suggested he saw this kind of natural skill and passion I had for that. And he suggested to me to actually pursue a career in aesthetic medicine.
Wow, that leads me to my next question, which is great. You founded Citrus Aesthetics Med Spa with a focus on ethical aesthetic medicine. Tell us how all that started. You said somebody suggested that, but what caused you to say, I think I'm going to do that, and tell us a little bit about that story.
That's a really good question. So I continued to work in the ER, and then when I moved to San Diego, I got a full-time position in urgent care. But at that time, I was already always part-time working in aesthetic medicine, which was just my kind of side passion at the time. And all of the med spa clinics that I worked at, there was a lot going on that I wasn't morally and ethically in line with. And there was also a lot of the time, lack of guidance as far as the clinical medicine and the approach to take. And I saw such a gap as far as the protocols, the proper way to evaluate clients, and how to still prioritize that client's results in an ethical approach, because the stigma in aesthetic medicine, unfortunately, and this has happened due to a lack of proper training, is that people come out of treatments looking unlike themselves or unnatural or overfilled. And I realized in moments where I felt incapable, it was just due to a lack of empowerment with the proper education and training. And so I started off basically, the aesthetic medicine field is still somewhat new, and there's a smaller group of really trained, innovative, and top-level providers who I set out to train with, because I knew if I would train with the best, I would be able to give my clients the best results. And I started tacking away at trainings, one-on-one or group trainings with these international top trainers. So once I got that training under my belt, I then felt competent as a provider, but I was still in an issue where either the clinics weren't practicing proper protocols or taking approaches that aligned with, again, me morally or ethically. And so I realized if I wanted to take both my proper training I now had, as well as take this new approach that I saw needed to be taken, I needed to create a whole new model. And that's sometimes difficult to do. I'm a provider who I speak up when I don't feel that something is done morally or ethically right. And I was hitting a wall in other clinics. And so at that point, I realized, why not start my brand new model with protocols that I've been able to create, the treatments and the training that I now had under my belt, and create a different kind of a med spa practice. And that's where Citrus was born. And now I've been able to create an aesthetics practice where it's a one-on-one model where it's just myself as the provider. That client knows every time they're going to see me as their provider, and we build on treatments. And there's a focus on not only taking a look at that person's anatomy and their goals, but also really focusing on their psychological well-being, which was one of the biggest drawbacks I saw, or gaps, I would say, in aesthetic medicine, that we weren't evaluating the whole person. And that's been something so important to me, Randy, in a sense that what in medicine, we all as medical providers, we take an oath to do no harm. And I realized that in this specific subset of medicine, there's a lot of vulnerability that comes in as far as from a psychological standpoint. And so if we don't evaluate a person's mental strength prior to treatment, we can inadvertently do harm. And so what I created is something similar to the PHQ-9. It's the aesthetic wellness questionnaire, and it evaluates a person's mental state, any recent significant losses, have they had any previous suicidal ideations, how do they view aesthetic medicine as far as will it fix all of their personal problems or not? If they say yes, that's a red flag, and then that is weighted on a score. And if they score above a certain amount, then if they're a new client to me, I have a discussion with them, and I either take three pathways. Pathways, one of which is to postpone the treatment and refer to mental health. The second of which is to decline treatment altogether and still refer to mental health, or move forward with treatment if they don't have any red flags. And this is something that is not discussed at all in aesthetic medicine. And so I've taken basically the research from this, and I'm starting to try to get more awareness on it and making a little bit of headway. There's an International Aesthetics Conference coming up at the end of March in Monaco. And I submitted my research and my findings and the AWQ9 or Q10 questionnaire, and we'll actually be presenting on this in front of an international audience, which I'm really excited about because it's a discussion that, with all of the international trainers I've trained with, nobody in any of those trainings has ever discussed the importance of this.
Yeah, wow. Well, listening to you right now, it seems to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, that your background as a PA in emergency medicine and now into aesthetics really has influenced your approach to procedures and patient safety. Yes.
Absolutely, 100%.
And tell us a little bit about how a PA fits into that role, and how you deal with supervisory arrangements, things like that.
That's a really good question. So, as far as the impact of emergency medicine, like I said, I think I mentioned previously, it's really built the foundation to how I practice as a PA, because aesthetic medicine is not a field of medicine to take lightly, although there isn't a good subset of training and education. It takes just as much education, knowledge, training as any other subset field. And so essentially what the emergency medicine has done for me, it's allowed me to have the mindset of risk versus benefit in every client interaction. And that has helped me to essentially always prioritize that patient's best well-being. If their mental state of mind is not in a good place, their benefit will not outweigh the potential risk for worsening their psychological state of mind. If their skin, for example, their skin integrity is not thick enough, then they will not benefit enough from a non-surgical PDO thread lift, approaches like that. So that's really been influential as far as my competence, along with the fact that everything I do in aesthetic medicine, I do what's called a good faith examination. And this ties into basically my medical supervisory's role. Most states, as far as I know, in the US, still need a supervising physician at this point for PAs. Is that correct?
Yeah, well, pretty much. There's some changes going on, but you across the board, that's probably true.
Okay, so my medical supervisor does not, I work fairly autonomously to the point of my medical supervisor is never in clinic working with me. What she's there for is if I ever need, since I'm a solo provider, if I never ever need a reference, have a question, have an urgent or emergent situation, she's there to help guide me. And as a team, we make a decision on that client. And so that stemming from the ER, that was very similar. I was working, they were working in the ER with me, but I was autonomous working in the ER. However, in those cases, when I needed that extra guidance, they were there. I
Excellent.
would say that, yep, I would say that's something in regards to if we progress to autonomy 100%. I don't think it's ever a negative thing to have a contact who I can always have if I need them. However, is it necessary for me to have someone in clinic to practice and be competent? Absolutely not in aesthetic medicine. Was it when I initially started out? Yes. And was that the case when I initially started off in the ER? Yes, as well.
Very good. And now that you through Citrus Training Academy, you mentor solar providers. So what are the most common challenges you see now with new aesthetic practitioners? What do they face and how do they overcome these challenges?
So I started Citrus Training Academy because of the issues I was having with basically trying to find a consistent and reliable training program. And so that's why I reached out to all of these individual programs. So what Citrus Training Academy is essentially taking all of my knowledge and being able to teach providers that come into Citrus, all of those techniques, plus being able to incorporate the AWQ10, so focusing on the psychological aspects of the client, plus being able to take the difference in approach as far as the ethical medicine approaches at Citrus. And so I would say the biggest key, the biggest lacking aspect in aesthetic medicine and the challenge for aesthetic medicine providers is the fact that there isn't that easy path. You can't go apply to a university or a specific program. You really have to, at this point, seek out your own training. And what I wanted to do with Citrus Training Academy is to fill in that gap, provide that consistent and good and competent and ethical training. And same goes with Citrus franchising, to be able to provide that backbone of what does an ethical aesthetic medicine practice look like? What are the protocols that you need to follow? And how can you run a successful med spa while also doing it in the right way?
Very good. And I know you've had significant involvement in volunteer work with underserved populations. How has this experience shaped your approach to making aesthetic medicine more accessible and inclusive?
That's a really good question. So, like I mentioned, in prior to PA school and during PA school, I had the opportunity to work with a director who created a film on the underserved, specifically in Phoenix, and it really opened up my eyes to essentially providing healthcare or aspects of healthcare to all patient populations. And in this case, it was working with Patch, where there was undocumented immigrants who didn't have access to healthcare. In relation to aesthetic medicine, this is a field of medicine that's elective. It is not something that is required. However, there are significant aspects of people's lives that I can change and positively impact. For example, in the case of someone who suffered from significant acne, a significant underrated treatment for acne scarring is microneedling. And so it's figuring out people's budget and trying to also provide that education that may not be available to everyone, and making that free and accessible to as many people as possible. And it's definitely a different, whenever you talk elective versus non-elective treatments, I see aesthetic medicine as a privilege for people to have, because some people don't specifically have that budget to be able to do treatments. My goal would be to, for some specific treatments that impact clients in that way, as far as significant debilitating acne scarring, for that to eventually get covered under health insurance as well. That would be my goal.
Very good. Well, given your experience as a national speaker and your role as a key opinion leader, what do you see as the next major advancement or trend in aesthetic medicine?
So the aesthetic medicine field is really moving toward innovative approaches, with the key word is biostimulatory approaches. And so it's taking an approach of essentially what can your body naturally do to build collagen, and how can we stimulate that? So there's some super exciting treatments that I've been incorporating into my practice at Citrus for the past 3 years, which one of those is Sculptra. Sculptra is an injectable medication similar to filler. But it is not made of hyaluronic acid. I look at filler in a sense of putting a band-aid on the aging process, as opposed to Sculptra and other biostimulatory procedures. treat the actual cause, which is loss of collagen production, loss of fat pads, decrease in bone density. And so Sculptra is injected into the seven main areas of the face where we basically age naturally, which would be the temple, mid cheek, piriform aperture, chin shadow area, lateral zygoma area, and the jawline. And it works over time. So it's not an instant result, but it does a really beautiful job of actually being able to rebuild that bone structure by stimulating the collagen, rebuilding those fat pads, being able to stimulate the skin, the fibrinogen, and inducing neocollagenesis, which is the production of new collagen, to be able to get really natural results and work against the aging process. Some other similar treatments that I utilize are Radiesse. Radiesse is, if you think of fillers and Sculptra, it's a mix of the two. So it has a little bit of an instant fill effect as well as a biostimulatory component with collagen. And then, like I mentioned before, I consider microneedling truly the most underrated treatment. Which is essentially stimulating that top surface level of the skin to produce new skin. And all of those fall into the category of biostimulatory treatments, which now we're moving more into even utilizing platelet-rich plasma, PRP, PRF, platelet-rich fibrinogen. And all of that to say those oftentimes get much more natural results, again, working against that stigma in aesthetic medicine of people looking fake or overfilled.
Very good. I'm going to go to some different topics, but before I do that, I've got a couple of questions in the chat I wanted to ask.
Of course.
Let's see. Morganic said, "How do you find or connect with the aesthetic trainers you trained with, both internationally and locally?"
That's a really good question. So, oftentimes in aesthetic medicine, the initial point of contact, ironically, which there's pros and cons to social media, but in aesthetic medicine, social media plays a big role in a provider allowing others to know about their skills, be able to showcase befores and afters, and the networking on social media is actually really positive and significant. So my initial first contacts were actually through social media with those trainers, and then figuring out where their training academies are. So for example, there's somebody named Julie Horn. She used to be based in Switzerland and now is based in Norway. And she truly is, as far as aesthetic medicine goes, a savant in lip filler approaches. If anyone cares to see results, look up Julie Horn Academy on Instagram. And so I set out to train with her because oftentimes lips are an area that as we age, you lose volume, you lose elasticity, and it's an area that oftentimes gets poorly treated. And so that was my first initial area where I really wanted to become as competent as possible. And Julie taught me the ins and outs, every aspect of what the skin layers are like in the lips, what the anatomy is to be aware of in order to decrease risks of something called vascular occlusion, which is one of the biggest risks if you're injecting filler, how to gauge different types of anatomical lips based on ethnicity, as well as lip ratios. And so I was able to get in contact with her through her training academy and eventually train with her. And so oftentimes that's the initial way is figuring out who kind of the top leaders and trainers are.
Okay. Uh-oh. We may have lost her. Yep. Is everybody else there? Can you guys see me? Yeah.
Yep, I'm still here.
Okay. Well, talk amongst yourselves. We'll see if she gets back.
Hopefully it'll be reset here in a minute. Might just have some lag.
Yeah, sounds like that. But good questions. I appreciate you putting them in the chat. And the good news is
Okay.
I'm taping this so I can cut this portion out.
No worries. I think she's logged out. She'll come back in.
Yeah. Well, happy St. Patrick's Day. Oh, there she's coming.
You forgot the green beer.
I know, I should have done that.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see your name.
Can you hear me again?
Oh, you're back. Yes.
Oh, okay, awesome. I had the strangest thing happen. My phone overheated.
Well,
Is everyone else still on?
we're still here, and
Okay, perfect.
yeah, and you were talking about how you found international and national trainers to work with, and I think everybody heard that.
Okay, perfect.
Another question that Tracelyn asked was, could you speak about some of the difficulties logistically with starting your solo practice, for example? Space to practice, negotiating contract with your supervising doc, insurance billing or out of pocket for patients.
Absolutely, yes. So there was a lot of unknown at the time of starting Citrus. I didn't know any other provider, PA that had started their own medical aesthetics clinic. So everything basically was trying to figure out all these different aspects. I got in touch with a company who essentially knew all of those aspects of the business setup of a med spa, and they helped guide me on that full process. So as far as my medical director goes, they already had a full contact list of potential medical directors. And for me, it's really important to have a personal relationship with that medical provider, making sure I can rely on them when I need to. So I interviewed about five of them and figured out who would be the best fit. I started off with one, and I had her as my medical director for about 2 years. But then there's different changes that happen legally where I will adapt. And so in this case, I found out that California state law specifically was changing some regulations that the medical director should actually be within a 30-minute drive of the clinic. And so I ended up switching medical directors for that reason, again, going through interviews with different medical directors and figuring out who would be a good fit. As far as some of the other aspects of starting a med spa, essentially getting accounts and being able to be eligible to be able to order all of the medications, which would be things like the Sculptra, the Radiesse, the different type of neurotoxins. That's a combination of having the medical director as well as having your own medical license to be able to order those products. As far as your question on location, for me, the biggest lesson I learned is that you don't create a good and positive experience in aesthetic medicine with having a $1 million storefront. That's not what matters. And that's not what I wanted to put myself in as both an entrepreneur and an aesthetic provider. So I wanted to create the most cost-effective model of building out a full practice med spa while being able to keep my overhead low so that I never felt any pressure financially for any patient to come in the door and for me to need them to pay me in order for me to pay my bills. So that's a simple way that I set up Citrus. And I did that by basically figuring out a space and a shared suite. So currently I'm in San Diego. I'm in a well-spaced shared suite, which I've been in since I started Citrus, same location. And it's a space with a shared waiting room. And it has about eight other wellness practitioners. So there's an acupuncturist, an esthetician, massage therapist, wellness therapist. I think there may be a psychiatrist as well. And that way, my overhead is extremely low, and I can focus on putting my focus on actual client care. And if anyone ever comes in for a consultation and I don't think they're the right fit or I don't recommend treatment, I never feel any pressure as a business owner. Some other aspects to go off of, I think I covered all of the things that you asked, but other nuances that are important to know, there's a lot of regulations as far as just opening up a business. So, needing to have an EIN number, needing to apply for state licensure, city licensure, selling products, you have to have a specific license to be able to resell products as well. So those are just a couple of the things, but there's definitely a lot to it as far as opening up a med spa.
Very good. And I see you all the time on LinkedIn, and it's good to see your picture there. Here's the one big question. Did you actually meet Kevin Costner?
I did meet Kevin Costner, yes, and he's the nicest guy, so down to earth. He's actually a really funny guy. He's actually not the best entrepreneur, to be honest. He spoke on a lot of situations where he didn't make the best business decisions. But this was actually at an entrepreneurial event, so I'm always immersing myself in both aesthetic trainings as well as entrepreneur trainings. And he was at a specific event where I had the opportunity to speak to about 1,500 people on citrus franchising and share my story. And had the opportunity to meet Kevin Costner as well.
Very good. I have a couple of professional questions, and then we'll get some questions from those who are attending. But as you probably know, a few years ago, the AAPA approved our professional title as physician associate, and
Yeah.
since then, the Oregon Association of PAs and a number of specialty PA organizations have changed to physician associate. And in fact, this week, the AAPA and the Physician Assistant Education Association actually published some material about, the process of moving to a new name. Since you've been in the profession for a while, what are your thoughts about this name change?
I am 100% supportive of it in every aspect since I started, even in the ER. I never really felt that I fit the mold of being an assistant to another physician. We've progressed so far in the PA field, and I really felt honored to get the respect from seasoned ER providers and for them to see me truly as an associate. They mentored me and they got me to a place to essentially practice as autonomously as you can as an ER provider. But I think that we really are at this point, associates, colleagues of, and collegial in that sense. The word assistant just doesn't describe what PAs do. And so in relation to aesthetic medicine, I still see my medical director, my supervising physician, as my colleague, my mentor, and someone who I can reach out when needed. But I feel and I work quite autonomously otherwise.
As a clinician and educator and a business owner, and frankly, with our Doctor of Medical Science program, our students are really colleagues of ours in the PA world who are interested either getting into education or getting into leadership roles or entrepreneurial roles, or even enhancing their clinical practice. What advice would you give to these new post-professional students as they graduate from our program and continue their role in the PA profession?
I would say two main things. One of which, when you feel that you can make an environment or a healthcare situation better, and you see something potentially that you can improve on, don't be afraid to speak up. Don't be afraid to be a pioneer in the field and be innovative and make a completely different path. Because even though there wasn't a citrus before, there wasn't a model like Citrus Med Spa. I think that the aesthetic field is better off for it and will be better off for it. Because of the influence that I've been able to have, not only on clients, but other providers that I've trained. And so you never know what impact you're going to have if you don't take a chance. And sometimes it is a little bit scary, risky even to speak up, but I always encourage you to take that risk and to speak up in order to make our field as PAs even stronger, evolve it in a positive manner. And the second thing I've forgotten because I got so into the first thing. The second thing,
Yeah,
well, I've had a complete brain fart, so
but that's
I'll let you
okay.
know if I think of it.
But we were talking about, our graduates, moving to into new roles in entrepreneurship or in education or leadership roles, in their institutions. And I think the comments that you made, are right on target in terms of that. Before I go to questions from everybody
I've
else.
actually
Oh, go ahead.
just remembered. So I think the most important thing is when you get empowered or mentored by somebody else, make sure to always bring that full circle. Bring people under your wing, and that's how we get better. When you learn, give it back, teach. Even if you don't see yourself as an educator, everyone's capable of that, and we all become the things that we've learned.
Yeah, pay it forward is what you're saying.
Oh, I actually can't hear you. Oh, there you go.
Yeah,
Pay it
no,
forward. Exactly.
that's it.
I can hear you again.
There you go. Well, Jessica, with your busy schedule, what do you do for fun?
A lot actually. So one of I have two daughters who are 6 and 11 right now, and they're my whole world. And I really have a really great work-life balance at this point while running Citrus. Full time, I basically am closed on the weekends. I have longer hours on Tuesdays. So I love to just be with them. It's an incredible time in their lives right now, 6 and 11. I love to travel. I love to see the world. I live in beautiful San Diego. I love to be outside, be active. One of the things that I've realized as well, if I don't focus on my own mental health and my own physical well-being, I can't be the best provider for my clients. So I focus on simple things, being active, eating well, doing yoga. And I have a husband of 15 years who I love to spend time with. So I try to have date nights as much as possible. And I love to pour into myself in a way of, I call it like gifting myself confidence, always doing more trainings. I thrive from learning. I thrive from challenging myself. I'm currently learning to or getting my private pilot certification. So learning to fly just because I'd like to. My dad was in the Air Force as an F-16 pilot, and I feel that it's in my blood. So it actually is also in my business plan for Citrus franchising because I've done research on successful franchisees versus not. And if that franchisor is present for all the franchisees and helps build up and empower and teach and is available for all of the franchisees, then they're much more successful. So as I build on Citrus franchising, I thought, what better way but to get myself there by flying?
Well, good for you. That's wonderful. Well, I'm going to open
Thank
it up
you.
to some questions. Beth, do you want to, is there anything else in the chat that you want to ask?
Yeah, there's a couple questions in here. Mike, champion, how do you handle supervisory MD payments on a percentage or flat fee?
It's a flat fee of $1,000 per month.
Thank you. And then Larry Fisher asked, is anti-aging medicine part of your practice?
Absolutely. That's the focus of everything I do. I would say it's one way to word it's one out of hundreds of ways to say what we do at aesthetic medicine. And some people look at it as addressing the aging process, anti-aging, treating the aging face, building confidence, but anti-aging is essentially the idea that we can slow down the aging process for the end goal of allowing people to feel more confident. And at the end of the day, everybody, the things that bother one person are not the same things that bother another person. And so, what I do here at Citrus is essentially anti-aging in a really unique and patient-centered approach, where if that person says their goal is wrinkles on their forehead, I recommend specific treatments, talk about the pros and cons, the ins and outs of the potential treatments that would treat that goal. If their goal is they really don't like the way that their nose looks for one way reason or another, I treat that. But does that fall under the category of anti-aging? Not necessarily. So I hope that helps kind of explain the difference and the versatility of everything I do.
All right. So Marganik asks, how do you transition from having little experience in starting a business to successfully franchising?
That's a really good question. It is having such a thirst and hunger for learning that every day you figure something new out. It's a roller coaster ride. It's so rewarding, though, to constantly have someone else teach you, and then, like I said, give that back. And so I would say it's being proactive in a sense of figuring out what knowledge you don't have, and then seeking out that knowledge. One of my greatest mentors in the ER said the most important thing to know and to remember is everything you don't know. And so I would say that drive to continue to learn is probably the most important aspect. And you will never really know everything, but there are plenty of resources out there, and there's different avenues you can take. For example, when I kind of hit a roadblock with kind of essential knowledge of entrepreneurship, with running a full practice med spa, I didn't have the time for an MBA. And so I sought out an opportunity, which was basically like a, I can't remember the term right now. It's like a fully immersive 1 week, class, but essentially, this was also a competition where 120 entrepreneurs got together. We were presented with all sorts of business knowledge, and then scored on it and graded by judges. And then by the end of the week, there also were winners to the competition. But I gained so many connections from that experience, but also the essential knowledge and vocabulary and that sort of thing that I needed in order to basically optimize myself and my business here at Citrus.
Awesome. Thank you. And another question, which EMR are you using, and do you have any online sales?
Good question. I do have online sales of the Citrus Medical Grade Skincare. So I have a branded skincare line through a company who's been producing medical grade skincare for about 50 plus years. The company's name is Topix. And it builds a little bit of client loyalty when you have it as a branded line, which was kind of that entrepreneurial business choice that I made. So those are all available online on citrusaesthetics.com. As far as the EMR, when I started out with the company that I mentioned, who kind of helped guide me on every aspect of startup and business-wise, they initially guided me on utilizing RXPhoto for my EMR system, utilizing Square for my POS system, payment processing system. And then I used HighLevel for client communication and leads and things like that. And so they quickly, based on my feedback, learned that this was not efficient or conducive to running a good med spa. So they're a phenomenal company because they were open to my basically incessant feedback on this isn't working, this is what I'd recommend, can you build this out? Luckily, I was partnered with this company who eventually, it's run by three previous entrepreneurs who really know when there's a gap in whatever field they're working to build a business in. They know the resources and the people to bring in. So they are a company that's now, they now have 300 solo practice med spas under their basically belt or wing. And we have built out a system utilizing their funding with an IT team that's an all-inclusive EMR, POS, CRM system, which also has, from the business standpoint, bookkeeping integrated into it, as well as inventory integrated into it, client messaging, and it's essentially an all-inclusive suite for med spas. So we've progressed tremendously in the last 3 years, and my life is so much easier and more efficient now that we have that built in. It also has the ability for my medical director, because state law still requires my medical director to oversee and check 10% of all of my documentation. So they're able to get into the EMR aspect of the suite, look through my charts, give direct feedback. I'm able to give a direct message if I have an emergent issue, and that message goes through Moxie Suite as well. And so there's many aspects of the system that's kind of unparalleled as far as anything in comparison in aesthetic medicine so far. So it's been really exciting to help basically be a part of building that with the feedback as well, and now to be able to utilize that at Citrus as well as all Citrus franchises.
And thank you. And another great question from Tiara. What advice would you give to a PA who's interested in working aesthetics but has no experience in the area?
Good question. So I would try to seek out a mentor in the field who you can start by shadowing. Like I mentioned, if you were at the beginning of the call, that's how I became interested in the PA field. Just get a sense for what a start to end day looks like in aesthetic medicine and figure out, is this something that you think you would like to get into? From there, once you get that initial, okay, yes, I think I love this field.
Oh,
Oh,
right in the middle of a great answer.
I know. And
Right.
your phone
There
was
you
getting hot
go.
again. But
What was the name? What was the name of that EMR program she was talking about? I didn't catch that.
well, she gave names of three different software, so I didn't know which was which.
Now I just sent that question because I wasn't sure exactly which one she was talking about that she had helped develop, so.
Yeah, Randy, we should follow up with her and ask her for the names of some of these companies so we can put them as tags on the videos.
Yeah, we'll get her back here in a minute and finish up here.
Awesome. Those are really great questions, everybody.
Yeah, wow.
She needs to spend more money on a good phone.
Her EMR is taking up all of her bandwidth, though.
It. Well, while we're waiting for her, I just want to let everybody know that our next master class is going to be on April 21st, Monday, April 21st at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And it will be a meeting with Glenn Combs, who's a past AAPA president. And so put that on your schedule. And Jessica's back. Yay.
I'm not sure what is happening with my phone overheating, but I am the unluckiest person as far as technology goes, so I apologize.
Not a problem. When I edit this, I could cut that part out.
Wonderful, thank you.
So you were talking about a brand new PA interested in aesthetics with no experience, and talking
Yes.
about going out and finding people to hang
Getting
around
a
with
mentor, yep.
and mentor with.
Yes. So I would say next step is starting in someone's training academy for aesthetics. Right now, it's mostly individual aesthetic injectors training other injectors. So find someone who's reputable. If anybody's interested, I would obviously be more than happy to have anyone at Citrus and show you the ins and outs of both business operations, but also the intricacies of procedures, consultation approaches, all of that. And if anyone does want information on that, feel free to, I don't know, you can actually email me, Jessica at citrusaesthetics.com. But seeking out places that have providers who are competently trained themselves, and then trying to figure out if you want to go into aesthetic medicine, would you want to work for somebody else? Or would you want to start your own clinic? And I think that's the beauty of the unique opportunity, I would say, with citrus franchising is once you get experience under your belt, you essentially have the opportunity to run your own practice, but with guidance in every aspect of the business operations, the model, everything, all of the lessons that I've learned with running Citrus, you will essentially get that guidance, a full training program, and a franchisor and mentor who's super passionate about gifting other providers who are passionate about aesthetic medicine, the ability to practice aesthetic medicine in an ethical way while still being able to achieve a great work-life balance. So the third aspect is there really are a niche of top international trainers who have poured their whole life's work into aesthetic medicine. And I would say start making a list of those people and reaching out to them and seeing if you can get that one-on-one training with them.
Excellent. I think that's all the questions in the chat. Is there anybody else here that has a question? Just unmute yourself and ask.
I have a question.
Of
So
course.
I'm curious. So just to get, it's a huge field, and we get inundated, and men are starting to get inundated a lot more with, all the social media, the
Yeah.
Facebook pop-ups, and all the. How do you distinguish yourself as aesthetic medicine, and how do you try to educate clients and other health professionals that want to get into this field that how is this different, and how do you identify yourself as different from the bazillion of people that mall attack you in the mall with the stuff they're going to
Yeah.
smear all over you. Yeah.
Believe me, it's not easy because there's a balance also with people naturally trying to find a good deal. And a good deal isn't always associated with a competent and ethical provider or med spa. So, first thing I try to do is utilizing, like I said, social media really is a platform, as well as LinkedIn, as well as YouTube, to be able to showcase the training I have and the education and to provide free education to clients who are looking for it by essentially providing videos or showing befores and afters and providing the fact that I do pour into my education, I do prioritize that client's outcomes, and then with befores and afters showcasing that I back that up with the results as well. But I will be the first to admit it's hard because there are many clinics that are not practicing ethically. There are many providers who blatantly should not be practicing aesthetic medicine, and I don't think there's enough regulation out there. So alongside focusing more on the psychological protocol prior to treatment, and eventually possibly having insurances cover a portion of aesthetic medicine. My third biggest goal would be for there to be more regulation because that can essentially weed out practices who do not have the client's best interest at heart.
Well, we've
I have a
had.
question for you.
Go
I have a
ahead.
question for
Go ahead,
Jessica.
Michael.
What is the name of that EMR program? I didn't catch that in your
It's
discussion.
Moxie, Moxie Suite.
Sweets. Okay. Yeah,
Yeah.
great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, we've had some great comments in the chat. Tracelyn said this has been great, wonderful information. Thanks.
You're very welcome.
Abby says, thanks so much. I appreciate you representing the PA profession and maintaining a high ethical and moral standard. And,
Thank you so much.
yeah, I think our time's up, but we really appreciated your time today. Did I miss anybody else that had a question?
Yeah, I'm more than happy to answer any questions. We covered a lot, but I know that there's probably, don't be shy. If you also feel free to email me again at jessica@citrusaesthetics.com. If you prefer just a more private answer, I'm happy to do that. Transparency is one of the most important things because I think that transparency also equates to being ethical. When you are transparent, it shows that you don't have anything to hide. And so I carry that through to consultations, but also in every aspect of interactions with other providers or coming into the field. That's why I don't hold back on anything. My medical provider is this much. This is what they charge me. This is how it works. Because at the end of the day, if I am gatekeeping, I can't help the aesthetics industry to evolve and patients suffer if we do gatekeep. So that's really my biggest motto is collaboration over competition, trying to get as many competent, passionate providers in the field and getting the most ethical and most natural results in aesthetic medicine.
And I think Tiara, you had your hand up. Did we cover your question?
I just had one other question. If you could talk a little bit about, I guess, the startup costs, and what all went into that.
Definitely. So when I started Citrus, to give a little bit of background, I had worked in the ER, and since I was working 2.5 hours from home, my husband decided to become a stay-at-home dad, and he was for about 5 years. So when I started Citrus, he still was, which put a little bit of extra financial pressure on me, as kind of sole breadwinner for my family. And I was unfortunately not the heir of a lot of money. I come from a single mom family. I'm the youngest of five kids. So I knew I needed to invest, but I didn't really know where to get funding from. And this is the concept of basically having gained more knowledge now on investors and all of that. I may have taken a different approach, but what I did was I basically took out my entire retirement to start Citrus. And this was an amount of about $50,000. It helped me to initially get inventory, get a place secured, get my medical director payment ready, give a little bit of cushion as well. And then, things like purchasing a skin pen microneedling device, purchasing an ultrasound, which I chose to have for that extra kind of backup of in adverse effects or in adverse events, being able to have an ultrasound on board at Citrus. And I would say that amount is an average amount of what you would need to start a med spa. If you're of the mindset of prioritizing the client care, your education, and you don't care about having that big flashy storefront, because a lot of places out there will take a $200,000 loan and build out a place, and it's just not necessary. So, in then relation to Citrus franchises, I did a lot of market research and I want to be a very valuable but also affordable option because my goal is to basically make the Citrus model kind of the fundamental way of aesthetic medicine because people are looking for that genuine one-on-one client relationship. And I think providers are also looking for the ability to do something they passionately love, but also have that balance in life. And so, with looking at the Citrus franchise model, the franchise fee is $40,000. And on top of that, there could be up to an additional amount of maybe 40 to 50 additional $1,000. So 80 to 90,000 startup. The reason there's a quite a bit of difference is because I brought on an RF microneedling device as well. So cost of that. But I would say in comparison to, let's say, other comparable med spa franchises like Beverly Hills Rejuvenation, their startup cost is anywhere between like $150,000 to $300,000. But that at least gives you a little bit of an idea of what the cost could look like in different scenarios.
Excellent. Well, thank you again, Jessica. It's so nice for you to spend some time with us. This is the first time that we've had so many questions at a master class.
Oh,
We,
like get keep them coming. Who else has questions?
that's it. And so we do appreciate your time. And I will get this edited and make sure you get a copy of it. And again, thanks and good luck to you. And I look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you so much for having me, Randy. It was truly a pleasure, and I hope that everyone found some value out of this or was inspired. Again, I'm happy to answer any questions. Feel free to reach out, and I'm really happy that we had this opportunity. Thank you so much.
You bet. And everybody else, have a great evening. And again, happy St. Patrick's Day.
Thank you. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Bye.
Bye bye.